do not. Last time we looked at those who actually claim they serve the Lord, and according to the word of God, we searched if they are truly serving the Lord. Because they claim that they are serving the Lord, but yet, nothing is happening. They claim they are serving the Lord, but it's becoming burdensome. Then we looked, according to the word of God, are they really serving the Lord? Mind you, because we're serving the Lord, that does not mean we will not have challenges. That does not mean we will not have issues. That does not mean that everything will come easy. No, that's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is those who are serving the Lord, they would not compare themselves to those who are out there because they have the understanding of whom they are serving. Those that are serving the Lord, even when issues come, the Bible says, having done all, stand. They will keep standing upon the word of God. We've been looking at the book of Malachi, chapter number 3, from verse 13. I'm going to read through, but today we're going to focus on 16 to 18. Your words have been harsh against me. These are the people talking to God. Say to the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mortals before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Verse number 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. So we have examined the scriptures. Those who say they serve the Lord, are they really serving him in truth? So today we want to go to verse number 16, where he says, it tells us about those who serve the Lord. If we say we are serving the Lord, how are we serving him? How are we serving him? From verse number 16, it says, then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. The Bible is telling us that those who serve the Lord, they fear the Lord. If you're serving the Lord, if I am serving the Lord, I will live in the fear of God. If you're not living your life in the fear of God, forget service. It is not acceptable by him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who love him will fear him. Those who are really serving him in truth, they will serve him in fear. Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? Is it the fear that I'm scared of him? No. There is no need to be scared of him. He's a loving father. When we're talking about the fear of the Lord, we are talking about reverence. Reverence of God. We are talking about submitting to his authority. We are talking about being humble before him. We are talking about surrendering to everything that is of God. Reverence, living in reverence and awe of him. Actually, let us look at Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 12. I'm going to read verse 28 and 29. Hebrews 12:28-29. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which shall not be shaken, which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. So when we're talking about serving the Lord, if we do not serve Him, have the fear of Him, then we're not serving Him. With reverence, with respect, with honor, with awe of Him. When we're talking about the serving the Lord, coming into His house, when we come into His house, we come with reverence. We are careful of what we say. We are careful of what we do. We are careful of how we act. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Tells us something about coming into His house. From verse number 1. He says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God. Walk carefully when you go into the house of God. And draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. So when we come into His house, we are there with reverence. We don't act anyhow. So draw near to hear Him rather than to give the sacrifice of us. Is not so much interested in our sacrifice if we're not hearing His word and living according to His word. If when we just come anyhow, He says, for they do not know that they do evil. When we come into His house and we act anyhow, we talk anyhow, we do not come with reverence. The Bible says this. It tells us here that we are like fools. He does whatever sacrifice we bring to Him. To Him is it. He does not accept it. Irreverence. In our home, when whatever we do, do we honor God? Do we reverence Him? Moses was going and saw that bush. That fire, that the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. And he turned to look, and God told him, take off your sandal, because where you are is a holy ground. We must serve God in reverence, in the honor of Him. This God, even the angels, the Bible says, the cherubim, they covered their face because they cannot behold His glory. They fly with two wings, they cover their face. This is how great, how awesome. May I use that word? How terrible this Lord is. But because He's our friend, we are His children, we're too familiar with, we act anyhow in His presence. Even something that belongs to God, we treat it as if, well, God understands. We must serve Him in reverence. Know that. Whatever you, when you go to the court, whatever you cannot do there, don't even think of it. You can't even put them on the same level. But we, unfortunately, what we cannot do there, we'll do it even in the house of God. When we are standing before men that we respect, or our leaders. I won't even use Trump because he's high up there. It was our boss at work. There's some things we cannot do when we're in the presence of our boss. Can you go to the office of your boss at work and he's talking to you and you're on your phone? Would you do that? Would you do that? Why do we do it in the house of God? reverence, respect for him. We can't just go to our boss's office and litter his office. Would we? Then why do we drop that trash in the house of God? The tissue, why do you drop it in the house of God when you are there? The bottle of water, why do you leave it behind? When we are serving him, we must know whom we are serving. We must know whom we are. How should I serve him? Serve him in reverence. Serve him in love. You serve him in love and you do what will make him happy, what will please him. Jesus Christ said, my Father hears me because I do those things that please him. In our service of him, do we do the things that will please him, or we do the things that we feel like we want to do? When we're talking about the fear of God, it's not only our worship, the way we live our life. Knowing that this God, as loving as he is, when it comes to sin, he does not condone sin. So that fear of him will keep us from dipping our hands into sin. That's why that's number 29 of the same passage we just read. Hebrew 12 says, for our God is a consuming fire. He's loving, but he's also a consuming fire. So when we're talking about faith, you know, it includes understanding how much God hates sin. That he does, he cannot stand sin. Just because you're a student does not mean that he will not discipline you if you dip your hand in sin. Let's look at Psalm number 34. 34, we're going to start reading from verse 15. Psalm 34 from verse 15. The fear of God. The fear of God. When we serve the Lord, we must serve him in fear and in reverence. Okay, Psalm number 34. I'm going to start from 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. What does the Bible say? Let's read it together. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. He says, the young lion lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything. We know how to put verse number 10. Right? The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. What about verse number 9? Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Right? That's what leads to verse number 10. But let's continue reading. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now let's hear what the fear of the Lord is. Verse number 12. Who is the man that desires life and longs many days that he may see good? The fear of the Lord says, keep your tongue from evil. Those who fear the Lord, they will keep their tongue from speaking and your lips from speaking. Are we learning the fear of the Lord? He says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Number 14, what does he say? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. That is living in the fear, that is serving in the fear of the Lord. In other words, it's not only worship and reverence. The way we live our life. If I'm full of just running my mouth anyhow. That's why James says, if you cannot bridle your tongue, your service is useless. Forget about it. It's in vain. So when we're talking about serving the Lord and serving the Lord in an acceptable manner, in the fear of Him, the scripture is telling us that our life must also keep our life from impurity. We must keep our life, our tongue from evil, from speaking deceit. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Run from evil. Seek peace and pursue it. That is when we can say we are serving the Lord, because the Bible says, if you fear him, there is no lack for those who fear him. So there is no want to those who fear him. So there is no way you will serve him in fear, that you will call upon him and he will not answer. Our desires he will grant to us. So the question is, how have we been serving? How have we been serving? Let's go back to the passage we've been looking at. Malachi 3, verse number 16. Then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord. And who meditate on his name. I want to go to that meditation. What is it to meditate on the name of the Lord? Those who are serving the Lord, one, they will fear him. They will meditate on his name. What is it to meditate on his name? When you meditate on the name of the Lord, what you are doing is you are meditating on the character of God. When you are meditating on the name of the Lord, you are meditating on who He is. When you meditate on who He is, there is no way any situation will come your way and you will not overcome. Because His name, through the scripture, we just prayed about one of His names when we were praying, I am that I am. You know, in our situation, He is there for you. So meditating on His name will take your heart, your mind, will take my heart and my mind away from the situation that is facing us. Meditating on His name would remind us of His ability, of His love for us. Meditating on His name will make the Lord bigger and our situation very little in our hands. Meditating on the name of the Lord would encourage and it will strengthen us. Meditating on His name will give us more understanding of who God is. They meditate on His name. How often do we meditate on the name of the Lord? When we meditate on His name, it opens to us new possibility of the ways we address and we understand Him. How much do we meditate on the name of the Lord? Most of the time we meditate on our issues and our challenges. Most of the time our mind is fixed on what we are going through, not on Him. But the Bible says, those who serve Him, their focus is on Him, their meditation is on Him. Because in meditating on Him, you have more discovery of this God whom you serve. Chapter 22, verse number 22. What did you say? Declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You can only declare what you know. You can only declare what you have pondered on. You can only declare what you have meditated on. You can only declare what you understand. That is why most of the time we talk about our issues more than we talk about God. Because that's where our mind is constantly. But He is greater than our issues. And He knows how to solve them. Serving the Lord is what we're talking about. They will serve Him in fear, not in fear of negative fear, but in positive fear, in His reverence, running away from evil, and their mind will be on the name of the Lord. Psalm 135, verse 5. 135, verse number 5. Meditating on the name of the Lord. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all. Our Lord is great and is above all. When your mind is on Him, you know that He's above all gods, He's above all situations, He's above all circumstances. Meditating on His name will give you more understanding of who your God is and of who, of what He can do. Meditating on His name. So when we talk about serving the Lord, we're not talking about coming to church on Sunday and singing in the choir only, or standing here preaching like a prayer. It's far more than that. Psalm 68 verse number 4, 68 verse 4. Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds by His name, and rejoice before Him. The name of the Lord. Meditating on the name of the Lord. The name that charms our fame. The Bible says there is no other name that has been given on earth by which we can be saved. Anyone can be saved except by the name of Jesus. Meditating on the name of the Lord. Now, let's go back to verse number 16. I jump to that meditation before I go to what they do. You meditate on His name, I meditate on His name, then what do we do? They spoke to one another. Those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. How can you speak to one another? Where do you speak to one another? And what do you speak to one another? Those who fear the Lord, they speak on what they have meditated. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. When you are meditating on the Lord and I am meditating on the Lord, we come together in the house of God, we are able to share what we are meditating on. I am able to encourage you, you are able to encourage me. If the Bible says they spoke to one another, no wonder the Bible says that we must not forsake the coming together. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching. That day is the day of the Lord. You see in capital D, yes, is the day of the Lord. Is the day of judgment. Is approaching, is fast, is upon us. So all kinds of things are happening, all challenges, all issues of life are happening. So if care is not taken, if you take to yourself and you pull back, you begin to compare yourself to those who are there without Christ. And you'll be thinking, remember that's where we started. How come they're better off? But the word of God says, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Now, if you don't come to church, how can I stir you up? If I don't come, how can you stir me up? Together, we encourage each other to keep going. When we have issues, it's not the time for us to retreat to ourselves and say, well, let me see, I can handle it by myself. Those who fear the Lord, they will not forsake coming into His presence. They will not forsake coming into His house. They will not forsake gathering with other believers so that we may strengthen each other. And we may do what? We may encourage each other, stir up love and good works. You may be my encourager. I may be your encourager. That is the way we can make it. That is the way you can make it. You know, when your faith is dwindling, you come to the house of God, you mingle with the brethren, they encourage your faith. You never know one word that will come out from the mouth of that sister or that brother that will scare you up. Okay, no, it's not time for me to give up. I need to stay strong. You join your hand in faith with another brother, another sister. You pray for each other. Your faith is strengthened. So that's what I was coming out there. Even when the issues are coming down heavy on you, even when challenges are coming, we are able to take courage in the Lord and to stand together and to look at those issues, you know, in the face and tell them, look, I am an overcomer. We are overcomers. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Therefore, comfort each other, edify one another, just as you also are doing. That is what the scripture is telling us. Those who fear the Lord, they come together. Even at tough times, they encourage each other. They edify each other. And as they do so, the same verse, and the Lord listened and heard them. Let's go back to Malachi 3, verse number 16. As they spoke word of encouragement with each other, as they encourage each other in faith, as they pray together, the Bible says, and the Lord listened and heard them. And what happens next? So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. May I encourage you, sir? May I encourage you, ma'am? You have been coming, you have been praying. A book of remembrance is open before the Lord for you. He has not forgotten any of your prayers. He's not that He's not here. His word says, He listened and He heard. So He's listening, He's hearing. And He has a book for you before Him. The day is coming when He will bring the book and says, okay, now it's time for me to move on behalf of the one who fears me. Now it's time for me to move on behalf of the one who serves me. The Bible tells us in the book of Esther that the book of remembrance was brought for who? Mordecai. He served the Lord in full serving the king. When he saw that the life of the king was in danger, he rose up to the occasion and said, this cannot happen. Nothing was done for him, but it was written. May I encourage you? It doesn't matter what good you have done, and it seems nothing was given to you in return. God has it in His book. You just keep serving Him in fear. You just keep following Him and obeying His word. There is a book for you. There is a book for me. That day is coming when you will open that book. When you open that book for when the king opened the book for Mordecai, what happened to him? More than he wanted. More than he ever thought of. From being a great man to the next in command. When your time comes, the Bible says he makes all things beautiful in his own time. When your time of exaltation is coming, nothing can stand against it. Even if Haman says, how is it going to be possible? God will make sure that Haman in your life is put to shame. Amen. And you are lifted up. All you need to do is continue to serve. If you have been serving him anyhow before, serve him the way he wants you to serve him. In fear of him, meditating on who he is, meditating on his name. Because he knows those who are serving him. And he knows those who are not serving him. And here I have to look, you know if you are serving him. And you know if you are not serving him. But for those who are serving, a book of remembrance is before the Lord. Let's continue. Verse number 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I will make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Have you ever seen a parent who has children, and the children, they're obedient, they serve, and they do everything, and then when Jesus comes, he will be looking at them, and I don't know. Have you ever seen such a parent? If we who are evil will not do that, how much more our heavenly Father? He said, a day is coming that I will spare those who serve me as a father, as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you will know, you will discern between the good and the evil, between those who serve and those who do not. May I announce to you, not only has he gone to prepare a place for you, not only will you be taken and the wicked will be left, but even here on earth, what this word of God is telling us is, he hears us and he will do. Even when this world is over, on that day, there will be a clear difference. But now, everybody may seem like they're serving. And it may be hard to even tell the difference, humanly speaking, between those who serve and those who do not serve. But a day is coming that the sheep will be separated. A day is coming where one will be taken and one will be left behind. A day is coming when he will say, depart from me, I know you not, you workers of iniquity. Then it will be too late. A day is coming. That day, those who are serving him, they will be scared from evil. The day is coming. Even after he had heard you here on earth, when you get there, he will say, welcome, thou faithful servant. So whatever it is you are going through here on earth, I want you to understand it's for a brief moment. It's for a short period of time. What we are to do is to examine our life. Am I serving the way he wants me to serve? Am I living the way he wants me to live? What the ungodly are doing out there is none of my business. As a matter of fact, I am the one to go out there and tell them that, look, what you think you are enjoying, one day it will end. Once that ends, then what is it need for you? Where are you going to end it? People of God, if you are serving the Lord, there is hope here for you here on earth. And there is hope there for you, waiting for you in heaven. Let us rise.